Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Proverbs chapter 3, and the title of today's message is Trust, the Key to Successful Living. The Key to Successful Living. We're beginning a series this morning called In God We Trust. And trust truly is the key to having a successful Christian life. Charles Blondin was one of the world's greatest tightrope walkers. And in June of 1859, he became the first person to walk across a tightrope stretched over Niagara Falls. Now, how many of you would like to do that right there? Not really. His journey was 160 feet above the falls and a quarter mile long. Altogether in his career, he made the trip across the falls 17 times. Each time, he did it with another, more daring, fantastic feat. One time, he crossed it in a gunny sack. One time, on stilts. Another time, blindfolded. One time, on a bicycle. Once in the dark with no light. Once he even carried a stove and cooked an omelet in the middle of the tightrope. That's pretty impressive. On one occasion, he pushed a wheelbarrow across. And you see the picture up on the screen there. He pushed a wheelbarrow across. And when he got across, the roar of the crowd was so loud, it was even louder than the falls. And he says, "How many of you think I can push this across with the person inside of the wheelbarrow?" And everyone's going, "Yes, yes, yes, you're the greatest tightrope walker in the world. You can do it, Blondin." And he says, "Okay, who'll get in?" And the story goes, no one got in. And there's a truth in that story for us. Everyone believed he could do it, but no one trusted that he could do it. You see, there is a big difference between belief and trust. Everyone thought that he could push someone across, but no one wanted to put their trust in it and put their money where their mouth was and activate the belief that they had. And there are many people today that believe in God, but they don't trust in God with their life. They believe that God is awesome and wonderful and he's in control and he's all powerful and he can do everything, but they don't want to give up control of a certain area of their life. Some people say, "I'm having too much fun doing what I want to do. I don't want to surrender to Christ as my Savior," or "I don't want to yield my finances. I don't want to yield my marriage. I don't want to yield this one thing." And there is a big difference between belief and trust. Trust is acting on your belief. Trust is fleshing out your belief system. Trust is obedience. It's dependence and reliance on someone else, not depending and relying on yourself. Trust is really giving up control and letting God be in control. There are some here today, you believe in God, but you're not trusting God with your life. The next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about In God We Trust. And friends, if we get a hold of this issue of trust, it can transform our lives and revolutionize our lives. It can make an eternal difference in your life and in the lives of everyone around you, in the life of this city, in the life of people around the world, if we can grab a hold of the trust issue. In your notes this morning, there's a quote by Martin Luther. It says, "God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing." Did you catch what he said? Those who have faith have everything. Those who do not have faith have nothing. You see, trust is the key to a successful life. Many of the great successes in the Bible were a result of trust. Abraham became the father of many nations through trust. Moses set Israel free from slavery through trust. The walls of Jericho fell from trust. David killed Goliath. Queen Esther saved the Jews from annihilation. The widow woman never ran out of food during a famine because she trusted God. She used the last bit of food in her cupboard and made a meal for the prophet. She trusted God. We see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered from the fiery furnace all because of trust. Trust is the key to successful living as a believer in Jesus Christ. As you also look in the Bible, some of the greatest failures and disappointments were the result of a lack of trust. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. Ishmael was given birth to by Hagar. Israel did not enter the promised land. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Christ. And Christians backslid and abandoned their faith. Friends, trust is essential to having a successful life with Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. Trust does not mean you'll never have pain. Sometimes people say, well, if you just trust God, if you have enough faith, you will have health, wealth, prosperity. You'll never have any problems, friends. Many times, trust leads to problems. You trust God, it'll come to problems in your life. Isaiah trusted God, and he was sawn in two. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Daniel trusted God, and he ended up in a lion's den. Jesus trusted God, and he died upon a cross. The Apostle Paul trusted God, and he was beaten, whipped with 39 stripes on 5 separate occasions, shipwrecked 3 times, stoned, was hungry, cold, naked, and bitten by a poisonous snake. How many want to trust God? Well, I didn't get a big amen on that one. You see, without trust, you can never know God's will and you can never grow to your potential in the kingdom. And sometimes your trust does not go rewarded on this planet. Sometimes trust is not rewarded in the here and now, but it is rewarded in the hereafter. But you can rest assured that trust is always rewarded because it says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In Hebrews 11, the hall of faith or the hall of trust, it tells people, it says some were raised from the dead, some walked on water, some did this, others were beaten, others were stoned, others were burned up. You see, God is in control, and He doesn't tell us to take care of the results. He just says, trust me. Trust is the key to an incredible life with God. This morning in the prayer time, we referenced John 10. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come to give them life and to have it more abundantly. Jesus wants to give abundant life, and abundant life only comes through trusting in God. I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. We're going to read the first 10 verses, and in these first 10 verses, there are 5 commands are given. And first the command is given, and then the result of obeying and following the command. Then you have the next command, the next result, the next command, the next result. Let's pick it up, Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 1, the first command, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. The result, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Second command, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Third command in verse 5, trust in the Lord with 50% of your heart. No, with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And 50% of your way, no, all of your ways acknowledge Him. The result, He will direct your paths. Command number 4, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The result, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Final commandment, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. The result, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. 4 observations about these commands listed here in Proverbs. Observation number 1, if you're taking notes today, is the commands incorporate your entire life. The commands of trust incorporate your entire life. It's not just the areas you're comfortable with. It's not just the areas that are convenient and are easy, but trust incorporates everything. Look at the commands. The first command deals with your relationship with God. It says, my son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. This is your relationship with God. Jesus said, if you love me, worship me. No, he didn't say worship me. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14. If you love me, love is connected to our relationship with God. Trusting and obeying God, those are the marks that I love him. So trust deals with our relationship with God. The second command deals with our relationship with others. It says, bind mercy and truth. God's compassion. If you have compassion and mercy and integrity in your life, you're binding it around your neck and you never let it go, and that's how you treat people, with compassion and love and integrity and honesty, you treat them well, then you will gain favor with people. Trust happens with our relationship with people. The third command is our decision making, the direction of our life. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not in your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. How many of you have decisions in life and you say, God, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do here. Some of you are saying, I don't know what college to go to. I don't know what profession to go into. I don't know what job to take. I don't know if I should move or if I should stay. If we trust God, he will direct us in our decision making. He'll take care of those things. Number four, the fourth command, that has to deal with our behavior and conduct. You see, as I've gotten that direction from God from the previous verse, and he's shown me the path, and I walk down that path now, what am I going to do in these little tiny decisions? How do I behave myself? What are the attitudes I have? How do I conduct myself? That's what this commandment deals with, my behavior and my conduct. And then the last one deals with my possessions. What do I do with what God has given me? It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. God is concerned about our relationship with him, with others, the direction of our life, our behavior, our conduct, and our resources, our possessions. These are the areas that God wants us to learn to develop trust in. Our society is self-reliant, and it is easy for us to try to depend on ourselves to determine our direction, to determine our behavior, our conduct, how we should treat others. Well, bless God, if someone slaps me, I'm going to slap them right back. That's what the world does, because you got to protect yourself. You got to stand up and defend yourself. God, there's no way I'm going to forgive that person. There's no way I'm going to be nice to my wife when she does something bad to me, mean to me. I'm going to retaliate right back. And you see, this gets very practical. Trusting God impacts every area of our life. It impacts every area of your life. Number two, the second observation about trust is that these commands, these trust commands, are all-inclusive. They're all-inclusive. Trusting God is not a part-time deal. It's 24/7, 365. I just don't trust God in all of these areas when it's convenient or nice or when it's easy. I need to trust him when it's difficult and when it's easy. In verse 1, look what it says. Don't forget. He's saying, never let this out of your mind. Always have it in your heart. Keep them. Never forget it. Never, not a second. Don't forget. Verse 3, don't forsake. Never leave love and loyalty out of your life. Always be kind. Always be patient. Always be gentle. Let the fruit of the Spirit flow out of you. Verses 5 and 6, he says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. There's no exceptions. There's no leaks. He says, you got to trust him in everything. Verse 7, it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Never rely on yourself. Never rely on yourself. Always be trusting God. And verse 9, it says, trust him with all of your increase. Nothing is left out. When we're trusting God in these areas, it is a continuous thing. That God wants there to be no lapse in our trust to him. The fifth observation about the commands is the commands precede the promise. The commands precede the promise. Our Lord tells us if we do these things, these promises will result. And that brings us to the fourth observation. These promises are conditional. How many of you want God to provide for you, your barns to overflow and you to have plenty? Then it all depends on honoring Him with the first fruits of your possessions and all that you have. How many want to have favor with God and people? I do, but that means I always need to bind love and loyalty and kindness and truth and integrity around my neck and have it in my heart. And so I do not experience these promises unless I first follow through with the commands. I need to trust the Lord. As we begin this series, I want to ask you a few questions. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? You say, oh, sure I do. Okay. Is He truly your source for everything? Do you trust Him in only the big things, but not in the little things? You know, some of us, we do a really good job with making God Lord of the big things in life, but then I just kind of go through my day and I just block Him out, and He's not part of the little things of your life. He knows when the sparrow falls to the ground. He wants us to trust Him in big and little. Or some of us do the converse. I trust Him with the little things. Yeah, but no way. The big stuff? Uh-uh. You want me to tithe? Uh-uh. You want me to forgive? Uh-uh. You want me to put you first, God? Nah, I don't think so. Is there anything that you are relying in besides God? Where does your faith and confidence lie? It's easy to say that I trust God, but it's quite another when I begin to flesh that out in everything. You see, first of all, before I trust God, I need to believe that God is trustworthy. My kids, when they were growing up, we had a split entry home. And if you know a split entry, when you walk in the front door, it goes down and it goes up. And our garage was in the basement. So when I walked home, I would walk into the garage, walk up the stairs, and as I turned the landing, I had to make sure I dropped my briefcase. Because there would be a little munchkin at the top of the stairs who would come running, "Daddy's home!" And woo, off the top step, take a flying leap. And I had to be ready to catch. And then after I caught the first one, then it was the next one, and then it was the next one. And then, you know, Michaela, she just turns 14 today. We just stopped that because she's a little heavy. No. That stopped many years ago. But they had complete trust that Dad was going to be there to catch them. And when we're looking at trust, there's a couple of trustworthy statements in your bulletin. We need to realize, number one, that God's care is constant. God's care is constant. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. He Himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Now, in the original language, this reads a little bit differently than how we see it. It says, "I will not, no, not leave thee, neither will I not forsake thee." Okay, do we have any English majors here? In English? I mean, that is a very poor English sentence. There are six negatives in there. But in the Greek language, that's a great sentence. God is saying, "I will never, no, not ever, no, not leave you nor forsake you. I'll never walk out on you. I'll never abandon you. My care is constant for you." So, verse 6, "I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear," even though He doesn't know English too well. Friends, you can depend upon God. Just as a little child flinging themselves off the top step saying, "Daddy's home." Friends, Daddy is always in the house for you. You can trust Him. His care is constant for you. Even when you feel it's not. Psalm 22, David said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me in the groaning of my words? What's interesting is that hundreds of years later, the Son of God hung on the cross and He quoted those same words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Friends, Jesus was forsaken so that you and I will never be forsaken. You can trust him. His care is constant. He will never, no, not ever leave you, nor forsake you, nor walk out and abandon you. You can trust in him today. It's constant, not occasional sporadic. It's not when God feels like it. It's total, not partial. He is sovereign. That means he is in control. And even when it feels like he hasn't been there, when you've jumped and you fall on your face, he's there. God is seldom early, but he's never late. And again, you might not see the reward on this side, but I guarantee he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You can trust him. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can trust him. Now, say it right back at him. You can trust him. Say it to the person who said it to you. The next trustworthy thought about God, number two, is that God's gifts are generous to us. God's gifts are generous to us. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. That word daily means from sunset to sunset. That's what it means. So from one set to another sunset, he keeps on doing it. And that word load, it has the impression, I need a volunteer. Volunteer? All right, my son, come here, Paul. Okay, you need to wake up? Here we go. Hold that. The word load in the Greek language, you didn't know what you were getting into. It means to pile on and to keep piling on. I tell you, well, you can put it down. Yeah, because I don't want you to hurt your back, okay? But it means to keep piling on to become a burden. That's what the word load means. And what the Bible says, God says, hey, I want to pile on the blessings daily. I want to load them. That if we could put a weight, thank you, Paul. Give him a hand today. That'll be good. It means that if we would put a physical weight on the blessings of God, we'd be going around saying, man, this is too much. I can't handle this. Holy buckets. That's what the blessings of God are like, but we just don't realize that he's loading them on. Each one of you today are carrying a load of blessings, and we don't even realize it. And that's what the word says. You can trust that God's gifts are generous. His care is constant. Psalm 136, every time the psalmist makes a great statement about God, he says, God's love never fails. God is generous. His love is always there. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love never fails. Give thanks to the God of gods. Help me preach this morning. For his love never fails. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Why? Or you're good. To him alone who does great wonders, great miracles. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and the stars to rule by night. God has wisdom when he laid everything out. That wisdom will not fail. It's daily. It's from the sun. It's at night with the stars. His blessings are loaded on us. His love never fails. His care is constant. Friends, you can trust him. You can trust him. As we talk about this awesome, beautiful, wonderful, trustworthy God, there's two areas that we need to develop trust in, two areas that we're tempted to not trust him in. That first area in your notes, letter A, is trusting God in adversity. We need to develop trust in adversity. One of the most difficult times to trust him is when the wheels are falling off, when your world is falling apart. God, can I really count on you to bail me out of my mess? Have you ever said that before? God, do you know what you're doing here? Because it doesn't look like it. Trusting him in adversity. David said in Psalm 56:4, in God I put my trust, I will not fear. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Notice what David said, my responsibility is to trust God. His responsibility is the results. God doesn't tell you and I to work it out. He just says, trust and obey me. Do what I tell you to do. If you follow me and do what I tell you to do, then it's my responsibility to work it out. And that's what David said. I sought the Lord. He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. I based my trust on him, and he saw me through. What adversity are you going through this morning? What trials are weighing on you that have caused you to lose sight of the weight of the burden of the blessings, and instead you're feeling the weight of the world of your problem? Friends, you can trust God with whatever adversity it is. You can trust God with your finances, and you can do what God tells you to do. Many times God tells us to do something and we don't want to do it because it seems crazy for us to do it. I can't tell you how many times in marriage counseling when a couple has sat in my office and I see the problem, and really the problem just didn't develop overnight. It's been weeks, months, or sometimes years in the making. And many times when a couple comes, one or both have already made the decision that I'm not going to try to make this work. They're just there for the other one. So they can say, well, I went to counseling. And there's times it's like, do you really want your marriage to succeed? Yeah. Then you need to do this. Well, I can't do that. Or they say, I'll do it, and we come back a week or two later. Hey, did you do it? No. Well, you need to do it. And they say they'll do it, and they don't. And here's part of the thing. Sometimes we don't want to trust. We put up a barrier because we don't want to be hurt. If there's anyone here today in your marriage, you're struggling, you need to begin to trust each other. And maybe your spouse hasn't been trustworthy. You need to begin to trust God. You need to do the right thing and give God a chance to move in your marriage, in your life. Whatever your situation is, don't just say lip service, I trust him, but trust God to work in your finances, in your future, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your problems, in those things that seem impossible. Trust him in your adversity. Lay it down. It's a fearful thing sometimes to do what God has told us to do. If I do it, I might get hurt. Friends, until you trust him, you are guaranteed to fail. Only when Peter said, okay, I'll step out on the boat, did he walk on water. God can't do a miracle until I take the first step of trusting him. God wants to do some miracles in people's lives in the next 5 weeks if we will simply trust him in our adversity. The second area that God wants us to develop trust in him is trusting God in plenty. Now that seems kind of funny, but many times when we are blessed, when we are full, when we have abundance, we trust ourselves and our resources instead of trusting God. We run to God in our problems, but when things are going great, well, I really don't need them right now. And I trust in myself and my abundance to get me through. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary to China. And when he was a young man and preparing to go to China, he felt that he needed to determine to live by faith and faith alone, and he needed to do it in England before he got to China, so that when he's in China and there's no one around, he can't get on the internet. He didn't even know what the internet was. He couldn't get on the telephone and say, I need help here. He would learn that I can only depend on God to move in people's lives, and people will provide because God has moved on them. So Hudson Taylor began to work for a doctor, and this doctor paid him quarterly. And when the time drew near to receive his salary, Taylor was disturbed because the employer said nothing about it. Taylor was down to only a half crown piece, very little money, but he was determined not to break his resolution and ask for his salary. And when he was visiting a needy home on Sunday, he felt led by God to give his last coin to the needy family. The next day, he received an anonymous gift through the mail. It was four times what he had given to that poor family. The following Saturday, the doctor finished up his work and said, "Taylor, is not your salary due again?" And Taylor said it was. But the doctor said, "You know, I forgot, and I just took all the money to the bank. I have nothing to pay you." And Hudson Taylor had his own bills to pay, and he didn't know how he was going to get paid. But that night, the doctor stopped by Taylor's house, and he said one of the richest patients had came over after hours to pay his bills. He gave the money to Hudson Taylor, and Hudson Taylor at that moment knew, I can trust God to be my source. I don't have to trust myself. I don't have to trust my efforts, my resources, but God is the source of everything. And that is where God wants us to come to a place in our lives so that we say, I'm trusting in Him. It's like that widow woman we talked about. She was down to her last meal. And she says, I'm giving it all to God. I'm not going to trust in what I can do. And because she trusted God, she never ran out of food in the famine. If she says, well, I am the source, I can't do that. I can't help God's prophet. I can't help God's work. I have to look out for number one. That would have been her last meal, and she and her son would have died a starving, agonizing death. But when she said, I'm going to trust God with everything, He's my source, she never ran out for the rest of the famine. Every time she opened up the flour bin, boom, it was there. Every time she needed oil to bake, it was there. She wanted to sell it to make some money to get something else. It was there. The entire famine, she trusted God. And God was faithful to her. Friends, what do you need to trust God with today? Many times we look at our wealth, our abilities, our resources, and we make them like an unscalable wall, and we think, this is a barrier, this will protect me, this will keep the enemy out, this will keep me safe, this will give me security. Friends, your 401k is not an unscalable wall. It can crumble down. How many know that? Social Security is not an unscalable wall. Your job is not an unscalable wall. Your networks, your contacts are not an unscalable wall. Your resources and your talents are not an unscalable wall. Your bank account is not an unscalable wall. Only God is an unscalable wall, and we need to put our trust in Him. He's our source. How many like poems? Good. I'm going to read one, and if you don't like them, too bad. This is a poem by S.M. Lockridge called You Can Trust Him. It goes like this. He's the one who made you. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. No means or measure can define His limitless love and no far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shoreless supply. I'm telling you today, you can trust Him. No barrier can hinder Him from pouring out His blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. I'm trying to tell you, church, you can trust Him. He does not have to call for help, and you cannot confuse Him. He doesn't need you, and He doesn't need me. He stands alone in the solitude of Himself. He's august and He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme and preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem of higher criticism. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's a cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. He's a miracle of the age. He's a superlative of everything good that you can call Him. I'm trying to tell you that you can trust Him. He can satisfy all of your needs. And He can do it simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He sees. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. I'm trying to tell you, you can trust Him. He's the key to knowledge, the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway to deliverance, the pathway of peace, the roadway to righteousness, the highway to holiness. He's the gateway to glory. You can trust Him. He's the master of the mighty, the captain of the conquerors, the head of the heroes, the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers, the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes, the king of kings, the lord of lords. You can trust Him. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Man, I wish I could describe Him to you. He is indescribable because He's incomprehensible. He's irresistible, and He's invincible. You can't get Him off your hands. You can't get Him off your mind. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand it when they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree about Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him. And thank God, the grave couldn't hold Him. There was no one before Him. There'll be nobody after Him. He had no predecessor. He'll have no successor. You can't impeach Him. You can't reelect Him. He's not going to resign. You can trust Him. You can trust Him, church. You can trust Him. You can trust Him in everything. You can trust Him in adversity. You can trust Him with your problem. You can trust Him with cancer. You can trust Him with your mercy. You can trust Him today. Bow your heads this morning, Father God.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.